It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenebeck on Bloomberg Radio.
Here's a kind of startling statistic, Tim. More than 1 in 10 women changed employers over the last year. And maybe that's not surprising, but most only plan to stay with their employer for about 2.5 years. It turns out that poor work-life balance, a lack of flexibility, and inadequate pay and benefits are driving women to say goodbye and leave their employers.
This has serious implications because when it comes to attracting and retaining talent, it's very expensive, and you want people to stay at a company if you're running a company for a long period of time.
It was supposed to be getting better. I mean, I've only been saying that for 20, 25, 30 years.
Everything that Carol just read was from some of the findings of Deloitte's annual Women at Work report, which just came out today. We have with us Emma Codd, a Deloitte Global DEI officer. She joins us here in the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. As Carol mentioned, Emma, it's you know, this is the type of stuff that's supposed to be getting better. Is it getting better?
Sadly, not every year. This is the fourth year that we've run this piece of research. We speak to 5,000 women across workplaces, across 10 countries. And every year when I do the analysis and start writing the report,
I look for
glimpses of hope. And look, some things are improving. So burnout is down. It really reached a peak just after the pandemic when we started to come back. And I think for many of us, it was this, you know, always on. Always on is still there, unfortunately, but burnout's down, but stress is up. Real concerns about women's health. Menopause this year, the data on that, deeply concerning. And then we've got the sort of return to the office policies that are kicking in, non-inclusive behaviors. There's a lot of similar trends, and I don't think we're just not seeing enough.
Tim knows this. I say this all the time, that we have a great policy here for parents, whatever sex, to take 6 months off.
Yeah, primary caregiver.
And so I'm saying, you guys need to take this.
I did it. It was amazing.
We have other colleagues, because that's what, to me, helps level the playing field of, it's not just women out of the workforce for a long period of time, but it's also their partners and men also out of the workforce. And I feel like things like that might help. But help me out here to understand, how do we really change the needle on a lot more of these things?
So by the way, commendable with that policy.
That's great.
Because it really does make a difference. And if you look at some of the responses, so last year we started asking about household responsibilities and who takes on the majority of the domestic unpaid workload. And it was, unfortunately, the data was women this year. We are seeing that far higher. So around half of women are taking on the majority of childcare responsibility. And these are women, most of them are working full time. So doing a full day's work and then going back. And we saw a lessening of those that split it with their partner. And then the adult care for other adults, is deeply concerning. That's gone up to 6 in 10 from 44%.
I got to tell you, parent of two young kids here. Carol, I was thinking last night, as I'm like picking up toys, doing the dishes, my wife is doing laundry, like she's the one who cooked last night, I did bath time. I was like, I need another person here to help. We only have one kid, but it's like, I need another.
You have two kids.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Sorry.
Just so you know.
Sorry, Liv. I love you.
I was going to say, I couldn't decide.
What I meant is we're not outnumbered. We have one each.
I couldn't decide whether it was Liv or Arlo calling.
Oh, man. Fortunately, they're playing outside right now and not listening. But one each, right?
Like, he's a great father.
We're not outnumbered at this point. That's what I mean. We're not outnumbered yet.
Do you know their names?
Yeah, I know their names. Hey, this is not an interview about me.
No, but what's interesting, and I'm going to say, when my daughter
was
little.
Let's get back to Emma.
When my daughter was little and I had aging parents, Like, you get that squeeze. Like, there's a lot going on. But Emma, help us. Like, yeah, how do we do things better? Because we all thought after the pandemic, oh, everybody gets it. We need to have a much more balanced life. It's gone away, largely.
Yeah. So look, how do we do things better? What do organizations need to do? So you know, you look at some of the data, around half of women are concerned about their personal safety at work when traveling for work.
What does that mean?
So you know, when you're traveling, that's deeply concerning. We've seen women say that their rights are being eroded around the world, and actually this is personally impacting some women, including, in fact, most notably, the right to earn an equal wage and also the right to live free of violence. So,
and this survey is global. So is this
global,
developing world
so,
as well?
So yeah, I mean, okay. It's 10 countries, so okay. It's got a just really so we... good balance. So you see these issues, you see mental health, you see, you know, 2/3 of women saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to disclose, and I don't want to discuss this in the workplace. Why not? Because I'm worried it might make me vulnerable to layoffs, worried I might be stereotyped, discrimination.
I think it would be really hard. I think it is hard for women to call in and say, I'm having a bad day, whether it's, you name it.
Yeah. And
I don't know if I should go there. I mean, it's part of a life. But it's just, and these are real things that affect a woman's health. I don't know.
You are right. And I will
office
go, I will
place
go
is
there.
Ready for there. Thank you.
Because I'm embarrassed my daughters. I have twin daughters. And I embarrass them
continually.
So we have to talk about periods.
Menstruating.
We have to talk
yes.
about menopause. I suffer from endometriosis chronically. Did I disclose? No. Back then, would I disclose now? Yes. And so I think, you know, there is an evolution that we're seeing. But look, much of this comes down to policies, the great policies that you've talked about.
Right.
So equalizing parental leave, all of those great things. But honestly, you will only avail yourself of policies if your leader actually gets it, understands. So, you know, yet again, every year we come back to inclusive leadership.
Yeah.
We come back to the importance of modernizing the workplace. You know, some businesses
leaders set the tone.
Right, and it's just seeing role models, all of those things, because I can't have another year where we see data as concerning as this. And there is, we've got,
amen.
You
you're
know,
like, I agree with
things
you.
We can
but,
do.
And right. We only have 30 seconds left, but I'm afraid you are going to see another year where you come back and talk to us in a year and you're going to say the same thing.
I really hope we don't. I think as we see legislation coming in around the world, so we look at the EU, pay directive there, the pay transparency directive, mm-hmm. I really believe that's going to start driving change. We need to see more of that around the world. And then the reality you talked earlier at the start, it's extremely expensive. Why would we invest in these brilliant future leaders only for them to have them turn around and say, I'm sorry, but you, 5 years' time, only 7% of us are going to be with you.
Just
why
terrible.
Would you do that?
Right. We all talk about that, right? At the early levels, it's all the same. There's more parity. And then as it goes along. By the way, Tim, your mother-in-law is calling.
Yeah, I know.
She's a little
upset. I'm not
even going
to look at my phone during. Yeah, she, it's okay.
Yeah, you
I'm just going to do
this. Can already see the therapy bills later.
Emma, thank you so much. Really appreciated this conversation. Fingers crossed that the next year's survey changes. Emma Codd, she's over at Deloitte Global, their DEI officer.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.